Acts chapter number 12. The Bible says in verse number 1, "Now about the time Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to 4 quaternions of soldiers," that's 16 soldiers. Peter must have been a bad dude, took 16 of them to guard him, huh? 4 quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people." Let's pray. Father, we sure do bless you. God, I'm glad. Lord, even when we're in the valley, you see us, Lord, headed to the mountaintops. And God, I'm glad you're always right on time. And God, I'm glad you know what's best. A lot of times our flesh don't like going through things. But God, I'm glad we never go through them alone. You're the lily of our valleys. And God, we certainly want to praise you and bless you for all the great things you've done in our lives. Lord, without your grace, I shudder to think where we'd be today. But God, we sure do thank you for the good grace of God. Amen. Now, Father, I pray that, Lord, you'd sit down amongst us. Lord, you'd take up your abode and you'd help through the preaching of the Word of God to sustain and strengthen your people. I pray revival would break out in our midst. I pray if there's any lost and undone amongst us, Lord, today would be the day of their salvation. Lord, we do plead for the blood of the Lord Jesus to be applied to this place. Lord, we ask you to put a hedge about us. Lord, we pray that, God, no one would desire to break a hedge, because, God, you said that whosoever breaketh the hedge, the serpent biteth. God, I pray that your people would be hedged in close to you today. God, I pray we'd see you high and lifted up. And God, we just get thrilled about Jesus again. And God, we'd leave forth from this place as Moses came down from the mountain. We'd have a glow about us. And God, they'd take note we'd been with Jesus. And God, we'd see great things happen in our community. God, I pray that, Lord, you'd bless now. Touch that one that's, Lord, hurting today. I pray for that one that's weak, you'd strengthen them. I pray for that one that's slumbering, that, God, you'd wake them. Or if it's high time for our salvation is nearer than when we believed. God, I pray you'd just do something supernatural in our midst. God, use this unworthy vessel. God, get glory to your name. Be with those that are sick, those that are providentially hindered. But God, help us now, we pray. In Jesus' holy name we ask it all. Amen and amen. I want to draw your attention to several things about this text. We'll get to the thought for the day. I want you to notice, first of all, the persecution against the church. We find in verses 1 and 2 that Herod the king sought to vex the church. He killed James, the brother of John. It pleased the Jews, so then he sought to take Peter also. Can I say, the world has always been against the church. The world's against the church today. The powers that be hate the church. But I'm glad the church isn't going down, friend. She's a going up one day. Jesus loved the church and gave himself for it. Thank God for the church. Hey, being a part of the church might subject you to some unkindness, but I want to tell you something. It'll be worth it all one day, friend, when we see his dear face. It'll be worth it all when we get that "well done, thou good and faithful servant." Hey, thank God for the church. Can I say there was persecution against the church then? There is in parts of the world now, and even in the undercurrent of our country, there are people who hate the church. We see the persecution. I want you to notice the prison sentence. Verse number 4, they put him in prison. I've heard people say, "Well, if you live for God, nothing wrong will happen to you." Well, tell that to Peter. I used to tell my mama before she went to heaven, if time went on, there'd be a time she'd have to come visit me in prison for the things we stand on and believe. And I've heard people say, "Oh, preacher, that God will never allow that to happen." Well, tell that to Peter. Can I say it's always right to do right, even if you end up in jail for it? So we see the prison. We see the persecution. I mentioned doing right and going to jail for it, and two people said, "Amen." So that tells me some of you don't have enough conviction, you'd be willing to go to prison. Some of you don't have enough conviction to come back to church tonight. Some of you don't have enough conviction to even pray over your food when you go to a restaurant after service. Thank God for Peter and folks of conviction that live their faith. I can see it's going to get rough already. Batten down the hatches, put on a seatbelt. God gave me this message. I didn't want to preach it. I'm going to preach it. If y'all walk out, I'll still be here preaching it. Because it's always right to do right. We see the persecution. We see the prison sentence. But I want you to notice the prayer that was offered. Look at verse 5. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Notice the prayer that was made. I asked you a minute ago to pray for our jail ministry, and some of you didn't even take note of it. But notice that one thing I like about the church, there are some that are there for God's purpose. The Bible says that prayer was made without ceasing in the church for Peter. What a blessing to know that when you're going through something, you got some folks that'll pray for you. Thank God for those that know how to get a hold of the horns of the altar and can ring the bells in the throne room of God and get a hold of the ear of God and pray God's attention down on somebody here in this life. We see the prayer that was offered. Notice the peace that Peter had. Look at verse number 6. The Bible says, and when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. I mean, he's surrounded by guards. He's got chains hanging off of him, and he's laying between two soldiers, and the Bible says, Brother Phil, he's fretting and worried about it. Is that what it says? No. It says he's asleep. I want to tell you something. You've got to have the peace of God in your soul. If you're laying between two soldiers chained up and knowing that when the first light of dawn comes, they're going to take you out and kill you. Yeah. He wasn't worried about it. He knew in whom he had believed in. He knew he was going to be all right. He had the peace of God in his soul. There's two soldiers there. One might have been heartache. The other one might have been pain. One might have been trouble. The other one might have been sickness. One of them might have been storm. And the other one hurricane. I don't know. But I know Peter's sleeping between them. It don't matter what's on your right hand or what's on your left hand. If you got the peace of God in your soul, friend, it'll be all right. Hallelujah, huh? You see the peace of Peter. Now I want you to notice the phenomena. This is why when somebody asks you to pray, you need to pray. Look what happens in verse number 7. As Brittany just sang that song, that line said, God's on time all the time. And can I say he's always on time? Look what happens. Verse 7. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. Isn't it a wonderful when God shines a little light in your darkness? Yes, sir. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly, and his chains fell off from his hands. Isn't it good when God shows up, whatever's binding you just falls off of you, huh? Yeah. The Bible says, and the angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind up thy sandals, and so he did. It's always a good thing when God sends a messenger to you with a message, you do what God says. The reason some of you don't have any victory this morning, the reason some of you don't have any joy, the reason some of you don't have any peace, the reason some of you don't have a shout is because God's spoken from his word time and time again, and you haven't done what God said to do. Peter done exactly what God said. It's a good thing when God speaks, and it's a good thing when we do what he says. The Bible goes on to say this, and so he did. And he saith unto him, cast thy garment about thee, and follow me. There's some things you need to get rid of and just follow after God. And it goes on to say, and he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. I want to tell you, when God gets on you so good it gets cloudy and you don't know where you're at, that's a good place to be. Hallelujah. And he goes on to say, listen, when they were past the first and second ward, they come unto the iron gates which leadeth unto the city, which opened to them by his own accord, and they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all expectation of the people of the Jews. I'm here to tell you, God's no respecter of persons. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if he got Peter out, he can get you out of whatever you're in, and he can defeat all expectation that's against you, my dear friends. What a phenomenon. Can I say the angel raised him out of sleep? The angel released him from the chains, and the angel rescued him from prison. Amen. And if God did that for him, he can do that for you. Now notice those that are perplexed about all this. I imagine some of them's expressions were like some of yours expressions are today. Look what happens in verse 12. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. It's always good to show up at a good college prayer meeting. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood at the gate. I can just see her. I mean, folks are in there praying. They're in there praying for Peter. They've been praying for Peter all night. And they're praying, oh, God, will you do something for our dear brother down there in prison? Old Herod's trying to kill him. God, we've done lost James. And God, the church has taken some blows. And God, if it be your will, we understand. But God, we sure do love Peter. Would you help him? Would you deliver him? And they're praying. And here's a little damsel by the name of Rhoda. Might have been like Lexi or Chloe or one of them, or little Aubrey, I don't know, but there's a knock at the gate and she runs and she hears, and it's Peter's voice. Aren't you glad she's been around Peter? She's heard some preaching come out of him. She knew who he was. She knew the man of God. And she got so excited she forgot to let him in. But she ran and she told the crowd, y'all quit praying, God's done answered. He's at the gate. And they thought she was crazy. Just like some of you think when some of these little kids do something around here. If they're giving glory to Jesus, you better pay attention. Well, let's read on. Verse 15. But they said unto her, thou art mad. They said, you're crazy. You've been watching Brian in the sound room too much. You're starting to act like him. That's what they said. You're mad. You're crazy. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, it is his angel. They done thought he's dead, and then the ghost of Peter showed up. Can I help you? Don't fault them. They didn't have a Bible yet. God was just starting to pin it down. So they didn't know what the Bible said about all that superstitious stuff. But they're trying to figure it out and reason it out. Can I help you something? That's some of your problem. You're trying to figure out God, and your mind isn't capable of it. Quit trying to figure everything out and just follow him. Just believe him. But then look, verse 16. But Peter continued knocking. Can you imagine him? He'd been out there knocking 15 minutes. He continued knocking. Thank God he continued knocking. We wouldn't have the rest of the story if he hadn't. Been like some of you all, he'd have knocked, and when Rhoda took off the house, he just went to his own house. Some of you all don't have any grit about you. You don't have any persistence. You hit a little bump in the road, and you fall all apart and quit. I'm glad he kept knocking. Peter continued knocking. When they'd opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But he, beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of prison. And he said, go show these things unto James and unto the brethren. And he departed and went into another place. We see they're perplexed. They've been praying for it, but when God does it, they don't recognize it. Maybe it's because they was expecting God to do it in a different way. See, a lot of times you pray for blessings. And I think of that song that Miss Caitlin sings. That sometimes blessings might come through hardships. And just because God didn't answer it the way that you thought he should answer it, you get all bent out of shape. I learned a long time ago that God answers scriptural prayer and God answers specific prayer. You better be careful how you pray. You may pray for patience, but you've got to go through hardship and tribulation to get patience. You better be careful. But when God answers, don't be standing there scratching your head. Give him the glory. But look what it says there. In verse 16. But Peter continued knocking, and when they'd opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. They were amazed that there stood Peter. I mean, they just asked God for it all night, but they're amazed when he stands there. Tells me they really didn't believe God was going to answer their prayers. I want to preach on this thought. For just a little bit this morning, I want to preach on, when was the last time you were amazed by Jesus? They were astonished. They were amazed. When was the last time he amazed you? When was the last time he amazed you in your prayer life? When was the last time you really prayed for something big and he did it? I'd say this was praying for something big, wouldn't you? They done took James, and now Peter's next on the block, and they're just waiting for the feast to end of unleavened bread, and they's going to bring him forth, and they's going to behead him too. But folks got to praying, and there stood Peter, and they were astonished. When's the last time you was amazed at what Jesus did in your prayer life? When was the last time that you really needed him to show up and he did? I mean, just amazed you in your prayer life. Can I say this? When was the last time that you were amazed by Jesus in your personal life? When did he do something in your personal life that was life-changing and it amazed you? When there was no way, and he stepped in and made a way. Amen. Might be bills needed to be paid. Might need car needed repair. Didn't have the money to repair. Might need new home. Might need clothes for your children. Might need food on your table. I'm talking about when there wasn't no way. And Jesus amazed you in your personal life. When was that last time? These folks were amazed at what Jesus did. When was the last time you was amazed? I believe, Brother James, if we was amazed at what Jesus did in our prayer life or amazed at what Jesus did in our personal life, when we would come to church, we'd be a whole lot different than what we came into church this morning. Sure. I mean, when the most exciting thing we had to talk about is a new swing set for the kids, there's problems. When was the last time you was amazed by Jesus in your public life? When was the last time on the job somebody came up to you and really looked at you and said, boy, I sure want Jesus' blessings in my life because I see him all over you. When was the last time somebody you never knew came up to you and said, you're a Christian, aren't you? When was the last time you was at the mall or at the food court or waiting in line to pay for something and somebody just looked at you and said, you're a Christian, aren't you? When was the last time you was amazed by Jesus in your public life? When you was just doing what you was doing. And somebody recognized you as one of Jesus' crowd. Remember when Peter denied the Lord? He tried his best to get them to think that he didn't know the Lord, but even they said, no, he even talks like him. Until he started cussing. He did. He said he sounds like him. He's dressed like one of them Galileans. He's one of them. Some of you are about to faint. Heard this story this week. This preacher wanted to do a little project in his backyard. He's out there and he's building a little deck and he's out there working on it and he's sanding on it. He's, you know, cutting all the boards and he's working on it. Notices a little neighbor boy just standing out there watching. And he just keeps working. You know, little boy hadn't said a thing, just standing over in his yard just watching. Finally, the preacher says, are you trying to learn how to build a deck? He said, no. He said, I want to hear what comes out of the preacher's mouth when he hits his thumb with the hammer. There's folks watching you. When's the last time in your public life you was astonished at what Jesus done? When's the last time you was amazed by Jesus in your pious life or your spiritual life? When's the last time Jesus amazed you through powerful worship in the house of God? It's been a long time since we had one of them services where everybody lost track of time. We looked up about 1:30 and we went out here and everybody had mascara running and men had mascara on their collars and folks were weeping and babies were being tossed. And I mean, the altars have been filled up 3 or 4 times. The preacher didn't get to preach and God just showed up, blew through, and everybody got blessed. It's been a long time since we had one of them. Can I say, in order to have one of them, that starts at the house, not the house of God. When was the last time we was just amazed at what Jesus did through our powerful worship? When was the last time you was amazed at what Jesus did through your personal witness? When was the last time you really got a burden for somebody and you went and told them about Jesus and they got born again? Boy, it got real quiet right there. When was the last time you was amazed? You told somebody about Jesus and they came to church with you. When was the last time you told somebody about Jesus and they even asked you where you went to church? I'm talking about, when was the last time you was amazed? Miss Mercer sang that song, Roll Back the Curtain of Memory Now and Then. Show me where you brought me from, where I could have been. You ought to have been amazed that you was even allowed to come to church today from where God found you. But you see, it's become so routine that we're not amazed anymore. They come out with a movie based on a superhero that nobody's ever heard of, and they sell more tickets than any other movie in the history of the world. And we're coming in to talk about the God of glory, and even God's people don't get excited about it. Theirs is a fairy tale and ours is a fact. Theirs talks about conquering an enemy and ours conquered death, hell, and the grave. When was the last time he amazed you through the promises in his word? I mean, when you start reading what God said, your soul ought to do flip-flops. But when was the last time you was amazed by Jesus? Let me tell you why folks aren't amazed. Can I say some are not amazed because they become relaxed? They're comfortable. They don't want Jesus to do any more for them. They're just glad where they're at. They've got at ease. You know, when a drill sergeant comes out, all those privates jump to attention until he says at ease. And then they all just relax. Well, some of you are at ease, but Jesus has never given us the command to be at ease. Matter of fact, he had Brother Amos write, "Woe to them that are at ease in Zion." Can I say we're not to relax because the battle's not over? There's still souls to be won. There's still prayers to be offered. There's still personal victories to be had. Then, friend, we need to be on guard. So many have relaxed, become complacent, been lulled to sleep. And you're not amazed at Jesus anymore. You're more moved by a sale at Kroger's than you are at what Jesus wants to do in your life and your family's life. We're just relaxed. Can I say this? Many are not amazed because they're reluctant. They're full of doubt. They don't think God's able. It amazes me, Brother Lawrence, we believe that Jesus can save us and take us to heaven, but we don't believe he can get us out of prison. We don't believe he can put food on our table. We don't believe that he's able to answer to the uttermost. Miss Melissa gave us a little thing she watched on Nature Channel or something, I don't know, about these little red ants and how they protected a caterpillar, and when the caterpillar becomes a butterfly, the butterfly protects them, and it has nothing to do with anything about any of us, but God cares so much, he takes care of all that. And if he'll take care of that, don't you think he can take care of you? I imagine there was some in that prayer meeting down there at Mary's house, Brother Tommy, that was praying, but in their heart they said, but God's not going to deliver him. Some of you come in here today with a boatload of stuff that God can handle, but you don't believe he can handle it. And therefore, you'll never be amazed. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You must come to God in faith and believe that he's able. But if you doubt that he's able, then guess what? He won't overcome your doubt. That Syrophoenician woman said, just give me the crumbs, Lord. And he marveled at her faith. Said she hadn't seen faith like that in all of Israel. And this woman had no right to him. Her daughter was made whole. That woman got back to the house and was amazed. I just wanted crumbs and I got my daughter back. Just trying to help you. Some of you just reluctant. Some of you relaxed. I was watching it, some of you singing. Sing about the glory of God. You're just sitting there. Because you're not amazed anymore. Didn't come out of Hollywood. It didn't amaze you. Wasn't on Facebook and it didn't amaze you. You're welcome. Doesn't make you mad. Might as well make you good and mad. Because you're not amazed. For church. I dare to say, poor church, there are people in here that checked their Facebook, but they didn't get on their knees and call on heaven. You ought to be ashamed that you don't care about Jesus or the church any more than that. Well, if I was in prison, I'd sure hope people would jump Facebook and get a hold of heaven. But to some of you wouldn't. You'd be on Facebook looking for the latest updates. You're welcome. It's truth. God wouldn't have me say it if somebody wasn't checking Facebook before service. Can I say this? Some are not amazed because they're restrained. They truly have obstacles. They're obstructed. They've been hindered. They've taken some blows. They're in the midst of a storm. Miss Brittany sang about it. I want to tell you, sometimes in your valley, it's hard to look up and see the mountaintop. Sometimes when you're carrying the weight of the world, it's hard. It's hard to be amazed at the grace of God. I mean, it really takes a mind that is focused on God to be like Peter, be at sleep in the middle of them two prisoners. There's some people, that obstacle gets big, so big, Brother Phil, they can't see Jesus because of the obstacle. If you could ever learn that Jesus is bigger than your problem, and just look a little bit higher in that problem, you'll be amazed. But some are just restrained. And problems are real. I don't want to diminish your problems. But in this text, we are shown how to handle your problems. Peter was not tore up knowing he was going to the chopping block. He just believed God was bigger than the chopping block. Peter was like them three Hebrews. Well, if you don't deliver me, my God's able to deliver me. Yeah. When they got in that fiery furnace, guess who they found? God. Yeah. Yeah. So the problem is, you're laying between two soldiers and all you see is the soldiers. You know what Peter saw? Nothing. He was asleep. When the Lord delivered him, he thought he was seeing something in a dream. Can I say? When he got out, he said he knew of a fact then that the Lord had sent an angel. You know what he's saying? I was amazed. He said, them chains fell off of me and the soldiers didn't even hear them. An angel walked in, light come in with him, and they didn't even see the light. He said, didn't even hear them squeaky old iron gates opening up as I went out. He said, what all happened? God. Can I say, some aren't amazed because they've relapsed. They've deviated. They've been knocked off course. Some of you are hearing with your lips you do honor him, but your heart is far from him. Can I say, long before the prodigal got in the far country, his heart was already there. And some of you have been knocked off course. You're not amazed anymore because you got your sights and your affections on something other than Jesus. You've relapsed. There have been addicts who do real well for a long time, and then all of a sudden a situation hit them and everything's just right for them to relapse, and they give in and they relapse and they go right back to where they started. You know why I don't diet? Because I could lose the weight I want to lose and then I'm going to blow it, because I'm going to go buy a candy shop and smell the sugar and then I'm buying out the place. I've seen people lose a lot of weight just to get knocked off course and put it back on. I've seen people live for Jesus and all of a sudden take their eyes off of him and they're right back out and don't even look like they'd ever met Jesus. Down there, Brother Rockies, we got a lot of success stories we can tell, but I can tell you what, we got a lot more of non-success stories. A lot of them, before they really get help, they got to end up there two or three times. Got to hit rock bottom. I want to tell you, sometimes God can bless you so good that you take your eyes off of God. That's why we need to be reminded, because we're human and humans forget. You know what preaching does? It reminds us. Can I say this? Some are not amazed because they've never, ever really had a relationship with Jesus. It's hard to worship him when you don't know him. It's hard to be amazed when he's never done anything for you. And see, he'll never do anything for you till you repent and trust in him as Lord and Savior. Yeah. Then he does the greatest thing he could do for you. He saves you.
Sure.
You'll be amazed that he saved you.
Sure.
And then, a life of amazement after that. And I say, I've been saved 44 years and I'm still amazed at the mighty hand of God. I look across this congregation and I see some of you. I remember what you were when you got here. And I look at you today and I say, what a Savior. I look across here and I remember prayer requests that came forth out of your heart. And it looked like there was no way. And here you sit today. Prayer's answered because what a Savior. But you see, something happens to us if we're not careful. We'll stop seeing the blessings and the mighty hand of God. And we'll get so embedded in this sorry, no good world that the world is all we see. I ask you a question. When was the last time you were amazed by Jesus? From the looks of most of you, it's been too long. But he does amazing things every day. The problem is you're just not looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Friend, he's doing amazing things right now. He just wants you to look at him and see how amazing he is. So I challenge you, quit looking at the filth of this world. Quit looking at the problems of the flesh. Quit looking at everything that's going awry. And just take a moment and look at Jesus. Look where he found you. Look at what he's done. Look at the prayers he's answered. And friend, if that don't amaze you, maybe you need to look to him as Savior, because you've never, ever been truly saved. If you can't see the goodness of God, there's something deeply wrong in your heart. When was the last time you was amazed? You know how this story led to amazement? Folks got on their knees. And I highly recommend you get on your knees. And then, friend, you'll stand amazed. Let's all stand. Brother Ray, come get a song of invitation. While they're coming, let's pray. Father, we do not have words to adequately describe how great you really are. We do not have emotions to adequately display how humble we ought to be. Lord, I think of it often, the words of the psalmist who cried, "What is man that thou art mindful of him?" And God, who are we that you would care about our prayers? And who are we that you would deliver from our prisons? Who are we that, Lord, you choose to bless? Lord, we ought to be amazed. We ought to be amazed we're not living under a bridge today. We ought to be amazed that we've got a Bible today. We ought to be amazed we have food on our table, clothes on our back, shoes on our feet. We ought to be amazed that our name's written down in heaven. We ought to be amazed that you've gone to prepare a place for us. We ought to be amazed at the goodness of God. Lord, I pray, Lord, you'd once again help open our eyes to the vastness and greatness of God, and help us, Lord, to live in light of being amazed by the goodness of Jesus. Bless this invitation. God, you know what's needed in every heart. So God, speak to hearts and help this congregation be amazed at the greatness of God. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.